Hi everyone, how you doing? Welcome to Hello Esports, a podcast by Orange, Le Tsebois Journal and the Luxembourg Esports Federation about all things esports in Luxembourg. My name is Maxim and I'm your host. Last time, we heard how much Benelux esports clubs struggle to find sustainable sponsors. This is mainly due to the lack of viewers following local competitive gaming. So today, let's take a look at a tool that might help fix that problem. A tool that allows esports and its actors to promote themselves and to touch their audience and communities. Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, you name it, it's the world of streaming.
Hello everybody. My name is René Treur, and I will be your expert for this podcast on the world of streaming. So the world of streaming is quite large, and it revolves around gamers, I suppose, but also chess players. Obviously, in esports, streaming is a huge thing as well, mainly at tournaments. Each huge esports tournament has its own stream, a live stream where you can follow the action and see the gamers compete. But there's also casual gamers who like to stream just to build a community for themselves, maybe even try and become a professional streamer, get some sponsorship income. And of course, for professional esports players, it's also a way to engage with their fan base, with their audience, and of course, to make some extra money as well on the side. And of course, for a speedrunner like we have in this episode of the podcast, it's also a way to record their time. So basically to have some sort of proof that they've broken a record.
The world of streaming is very intimate. Streamers and their communities share a sense of humor, plenty of insiders, and a passion for all sorts of gaming. So before getting to the bigger picture, I wanted to dive into one of these communities. While streamers are very rare in Luxembourg, we do have a few, and among them one, who's very successful at his type of gaming, which we will discover at the same time. Green Snowdog is a Swedish-Luxembourgish record-holding speedrunner who entertains a more than 800 followers community on his Twitch account.
I'm Green Snowdog on Twitch and Twitter. I'm a 18-year-old speedrunner from Luxembourg, and I try to finish games as fast as I can.
Now, you might wonder what speedrunning really is, how does streaming really work, what does it bring to esports, and how could it solve the scene's visibility problems? Yep, same here. And luckily, all those questions were about to be answered. But first, I wanted to get to know Green Snowdog a little bit better, starting with the first game he ever bought.
What I bought is... that I don't know. I don't remember. It's like you buy one game,
You're
but then
younger.
You lose. I know, but look, no, it's too many games. The one game I remember, though, getting, like the first game I had was Wii Sports. Because, yeah, that was new when I was born. And I was like, oh, I can play bowling. And that's it.
Very different as well from speedrunning.
Yeah.
So there was a whole way to get there.
Playing bowling at the living room to now me trying to beat bowling as fast as I can is very different.
Yeah.
Nice throw.
Where does your passion for video games come from? Because it started with a game that isn't what you do now, actually.
Yeah. It's everything's different. That's the cool thing about gaming, I think.
Is that having to adapt.
Yeah, you can find like everything that's so different because there's action, RPG, adventure, all those like different genres, and everything is so unique in a way. And there's of course like the big series that you can play. Like, oh, there's multiple Yakuza games, and I can play all of them, and there's a huge story. Or just indie games that are just like, oh, cool concepts and just play that. And that's just it. It's just fun.
So Green Snowdog is a video games fan above all. Give him whatever game you want and he'll enjoy playing it. He even stays up to date with the biggest esports titles. What he's best at and loves most though is speedrunning. He even participated to the scene's biggest streamed event in Europe multiple times. But what is speedrunning exactly and can we consider it an esport?
This is always difficult, but speedrunning is, best way to say it is that you finish a game as fast as you can, in some ways, any way possible.
No se preocupen, Speedy Gonzalez se los trae. Yepa, yepa, y arriba, arriba.
Any game works on any console.
Yeah.
It's just who's willing to do it.
Yeah, It's just a game where you have like an adventure that you have to finish and you try to do it as quick as possible. Is it maybe something that you love as well? The fact that you can like go back on old consoles, like have that vintage touch of the old games as well.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest charm is like the old consoles, you go back and then you can play it again on that. And it's just... Speedrunning is the best way, I think, to show off that you love a game. It's like you play it over and over and over again and just to be good at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you said before. Like try to adapt and understand things and do it again and then say next time I'll do it better.
Yeah. Even though everyone just yells at the game, says, it's bad, I hate it, this RNG sucks. It's just, they love it underneath, though. They all hate it, but they want to release their anger somehow. They all love it, though.
Of course, there's some pot of competitivity in there.
Yeah.
You try to do it as quick as possible. So, of course, you try to beat your own time. You also try to beat your friend's time. And if you're a streamer, as you are, you try to beat everybody's time. We have the website speedrun.com. where you can see like the records people have. I was on your page and you actually are number one in some games.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the games, I'm number one. It's like Smarties Meltdown. What is this? For having a world record, it depends on like the games, because there's like, of course, the well-known ones like Minecraft and Mario 64. You have world record. It is a huge achievement. And then there's like, yeah, those games, Smarties Melt, and it's just like, sure, I'm the fastest in that.
But you're the fastest in the world in that.
Yeah, but in the world considering of those seven people, which is, sure.
Okay, so it's not really like a good way of informing yourself going on speedrun.com.
Yeah, speedrun.com is like a good hub, but of course it's like whoever tries, because of course like the Smarties again, is that seven people ran and wanted to submit it. There's of course hundreds of people in like other games have ran it but never submit, and that's fine because it is what it is. But speedrun.com does it so easily that it's just like, oh sure, this man has world record, and it's good. I like it.
And we talked about the competitive edge of speedrunning. There are also events. The way actually I found you is through ESA Marathon. So can you maybe explain what the ESA Marathon is? Because it's a big event.
Yeah.
Fall in the water! This is what happens when I talk trash, dude! It's what happens! It's what happens!
A speedrun marathon is an event that is a weekend long or a week long of speedrunners gathering together and showing off games they can speedrun really well. And of course, a committee of people choose the games that will be shown off.
Mm-hmm. So a big event gathering the best speedrunners, best streamers, and trying to get as much money as possible for good causes.
Yeah. The two main events in English are Games Done Quick and European Speedrunner Gathering, so GDQ and ESA. They both are huge in their own right. One is the biggest overall and one's the biggest European one. And both do really well in like gathering people together and just connecting. And then through everyone just having fun, they're showing off games and they're all doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
Which is just speedrun.
Yeah. And how many people are there watching in events like that so that we can have like maybe an idea?
It is very varying because GDQ gets like over 100,000 when it's on prime time hours in the US, and on ESA it's like between, it could be anywhere from like 20,000 to 40,000 viewers at once, and it is really like mix on like how many viewers are watching now, but of course it's just who's awake, who's watching. Yeah.
Do you have like a big table with the best times and try to beat the other people's times as well? Or how does that
at
work?
At marathons?
Yeah.
No. At marathons, purely just gathering.
Okay, so there's no competitivity in there?
No. Like, people can, of course, host like small competitive tournaments like ESA Summer, the last time I went.
So it does exist, though. You have that events, competitivity, and you see where I'm going there. Would you argue that speedrunning is an e-sport?
It's sometimes is because it's speedrunning as a whole. No.
Aww.
I would say virtually they're virtual athletes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because they are the best at the games they play at. But as esports, there's not competitive enough. There is an event that ESA holds called Break the Record Live, which is it depends how long it is, but the first one they did was whoever gets the first 1 hour 38 time and has the world record by the end of these 3 days wins a certain amount of, I forgot how much it was, but it's over $10,000 in total for everyone. And it was like the first big competitive moment, I think.
A competitive edge, events, and even a prize pool? This sounds like a no-brainer to me. Speedrunning is or will be an esport. An esport that needs to be streamed to be competitive. So let's get to our main topic now. What exactly is the gaming scene's world of streaming really about? Well, let's find out. Green Snowdog gave me a crash course about Twitch with his channel and community as a case study.
Streaming is broadcasting yourself live. It is what it is. I think that's just it. It's broadcasting live feed to the internet. That's as simple as it gets.
Yeah. So basically, as well, to have like a picture in your head, it's like yourself playing. You film your screen. You maybe film yourself as well. You're talking and communicating with a community.
A new follower.
Yeah. Say a fan base. Sometimes it is, but a community that kind of comments and interacts with you throughout the game.
Yeah, that's best. I guess that's the best way of describing it. It's hard to say, but of course, everyone does it differently. Because the difference with live streaming and a lot of things is a chat. Because if people interact,
we've got new follower.
And every stream has different people or communities and how many.
Yeah,
there
and then you kind of find your community as well. The people are on the same wavelength as you. It's the same jokes, the same memes. You have your insiders, and that makes it so special as well.
Yeah.
So what streaming platform are you streaming on?
Twitch.
It's the biggest one, right?
Yeah, currently it's the biggest one. YouTube is getting close, but YouTube still has many things to clear up.
Well, it was actually quite a big subject during COVID and lockdown that a lot of streaming platforms would try to buy streamers out from Twitch. If I'm not mistaken, Ninja, who plays Fortnite.
What is that?
Oh, you can phase through this shit, can you?
Yeah, I think it's all walls.
Bro,
if you popped up.
What?
Was bought by Facebook at some point.
No, Mixer.
Mixer, okay.
Mixer, yeah, Mixer is no longer a thing, which is good, but...
Well, I guess a lot of companies thought during the lockdown it's the next big thing to do.
I mean, after lockdown, Twitch increased, I think revenue-wise, doubled the amount in 2020 or in 2021. Because, yeah, everyone just stayed at home and just streamed or watched people.
How would you describe being a streamer?
As my level of streaming is just put up something entertaining or be... or create content through that time. So I might stream for like 3 hours or so, and in that time, just do content, enjoy what I want, and entertain others, whoever is here. A lot of people use the platform as just, let's just play a game and hit live and see what happens. And that's fine. They can do what they want. But if you want the attention to grow, you have to sort of do more or stick out at least. Cristiano Ronaldo.
How do you talked about making money. How do you make money with that?
To make money on streaming is more or less like the kindness of people's heart. Because you have to first apply or get enough people to get affiliate.
Yeah.
And through affiliate, you can get...
So affiliate is like following, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So like have at least 3 average views over a month, 50 followers in total, and stream a certain amount of hours. And if you meet those goals, you get affiliate. And affiliates, people can give you bits, which is Twitch's currency, subs, and that's what Twitch allows you. Donations you can do since the beginning.
Donation.
But it's, of course, optional for people. Same with bits and subs.
We talked about community. How big and how strong is the community that you have behind you? Do you feel it? Like that very, very... strong and diehard, let's say, community members and who really follow you on like every social media and are there almost all the time when you stream?
It's a way of putting it, but I would say my community is strong in like people we're like, we enjoy each other's company and we all like to hang out and just chat. But as a community in like a following, no, because I'm not that big enough to have like a huge following or anything. So everyone who's somewhat more close, it feels like a big friend group.
Yeah. In your Twitch bio, I've seen that you're talking about the fact that you have Asperger's and Tourette's. Does that somehow help you deal with that? The community behind you, also streaming, playing?
It is transparency that I give out. And I feel like it is just being clear to people, like just being obvious, like this is me, this is what I have. And of course, I'm not obvious with it because every time I say people that's there questioning, like, really? You sure? Because it, like, they don't notice it. Because, of course, on Twitch, personally, I'm more or less performing, I feel. Because I on Twitch, I know what I'm doing. I have confidence. And with confidence, I can just do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But, of course, I try to still bring awareness to it or making... Or being aware of it or telling people this is
to get
what I have.
People's attention. Like
that. Yeah, it draws attention to it. And then that's just it. That's all I can do the best.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. Streaming platforms are a real opportunity to esports, and events as well as clubs have been quick to see it. To understand why, our expert René Tre, a former semi-pro turned esports commentator, joined me to explain what streaming really brings to competitive gaming. First of all, I would like to ask you how streaming is used in esports.
Well, several different ways, of course. Like we heard in the definition, it's mainly at tournaments, huge productions, a host, a director.
And some things that people might not understand sometimes is that, you know, if you want from home to stream, it has no actual cost for you. But for events, it's a big production still. It asks for a lot of money to do it well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. At home, you could just make a Twitter account or a YouTube account and start streaming. And then you'll be able to build a small fan base, maybe, if you're entertaining or if you're very good at a certain game. Then you'll get fans or at least a community that interacts with you. Maybe even get donations. But yeah, like you said, at the big events, you need to make sure you have top-notch cameras to make sure you can get the audience reaction, etc. So you need to have multiple camera angles. You need to have a big stage with LED lights, LED boarding for the sponsors as well, the lights, etc.
They also need to have you, the commentators.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You'd need at least one commentator, but at a professional event, you'd need commentary duos and preferably a host as well to make things dynamic and interesting. So yeah, you need an entire crew. So that's usually a huge budget, and that's of course where esports sponsors come in. But that was a different episode. So
yeah. But it's still a big chance though, because you know you don't have to find a broadcaster who will show it on TV and to convince them to show it on TV. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You can just broadcast using the internet. And of course, depending on whether you're just an event organizer or you're the developer of the game itself, that depends on how much money it will cost you. Because obviously getting the license to be the official broadcaster for a certain event, that might also cost quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm. How is it for clubs? It's maybe also a way, especially for clubs, because since they play in events, events will, of course, show them, but clubs on their side maybe can show behind the scenes, things like that.
Exactly, yeah. Clubs are more and more about content creation as well, getting unique content out there or content that everybody likes to watch so that you get a lot of viewers, so that you also get a lot of sponsorship deals out of it. It's easier to get sponsors interested about your club or organization or your team. When you're getting a lot of views, when you're getting a lot of clicks, a lot of followers.
Winning fans, like showing an identity, them getting to know the players, their humor and everything, and kind of get a connection with them.
Yeah, exactly. And the more responses you get on your tweets or your Instagram posts, the more sponsors will see that you're really engaging with your community, with your target audience. So the more interested they'll become in partnering with you. And we've even seen individual gamers like Shroud, who also became huge streamers, or Ninja. Everybody knows Ninja. Shroud is someone who was a professional Counter-Strike player. And at some point, he was even allowed to stream live at one of the biggest events of the year, because they usually don't allow players to stream to the outside world from the event because they have their own stream. But Shroud got so huge that they decided to let him do it and maybe get a few extra people to notice their event, people who followed Shroud because of the person that he is and maybe not just because of his Counter-Strike skills.
Yeah, definitely. That's very interesting. And I think that, well, in Luxembourg and in the whole of the Benelux, you know, where esports fail to get bigger at the moment, but we hope that that might change in the coming years. But, you know, you don't have that structure with an academy and everything. So how do you get young players into your team? Well, maybe, well, you know, when the young players want to be seen, they will get to Twitch. And maybe that's a way also for the clubs to scout them and for them to manage to get to their dream and find a team because they show off the skills they have on Twitch or other streaming platforms, of course.
Yeah, for sure. It's a way when you're not in a professional organization yet, it's definitely a way to show your skills and to show that you can get some people following you. Or maybe it's hard to build one on your own, of course, except if you're really at the top level of your game or if you're very funny. Like we've seen some YouTubers become huge in the Benelux, but not that many streamers who became really huge yet, as far as I know. Though there are some that can really provide an income for themselves. But if you're not looking to provide an income for yourself from streaming, but just to get a name for yourself and reach a professional organization, it's probably the best way to be noticed.
Nowadays, streaming is an integral part of the esports world. When I think about esports, I instantly think about streaming as well. Yet, René Treur believes it could be used in an even more optimized way and be part of the solution for the esports lag of growth in all countries. Back to speedrunning, it hasn't got its, let's say, official esports label yet, just as esports haven't got theirs as a sport in most countries. As mentioned before, it has an unquestionable potential to become an esports though. So I ask Green Snowdog if getting that label in the future is a question of when rather than if. And he seemed optimistic.
I feel like it still has a long way to go. With, I said before, Break the Record Live that ESA does is a huge step. And with its first Break the Record Live, it was huge because it was drawing so much attention to like, oh, we can beat this one time and break a new barrier in Mario 64. But of course, it's. I think it will take a bit long. It will take really a while before being huge attention.
Yeah,
there are like, for example, news articles that state the fact of like huge game speedrunning achievements and some like indie game achievements. They're like, Untitled Goose Game went from 10 minutes to 2 minutes, and people are just surprised by it. But I mean, as a esports. I would love to see it being bigger, but...
I mean, you could have something like E-Olympics, you know?
Oh.
Olympic record, the world record, and then you have, you know, everybody doing... You know, you have three tries.
Yeah.
And you have to do the best time, and then, yeah, you take gold or silver or bronze
yeah.
or nothing.
I think the best way for everyone to see is look at speedrun tournaments, see how they do it.
Yeah. Well, if we have that E-Olympics at some point, maybe we'll be there. Maybe we'll be there competing and hopefully representing Luxembourg.
Oh, God.
As for streaming, he feels everybody should enjoy it the way they love it most. regarding the low numbers of streamers, he can see why we haven't got any more.
Because it is just putting yourself live and then just...
It's being honest as well. It's being yourself.
Yeah, for the most part. You can act as a different character. And
of course,
that's
but once you're playing, if at the last moment you like lose 10 seconds that kill off your record, I mean, you're going to be yourself. You're going to be swearing and you're going to be shouting and
do whatever I feel.
Breaking the controller. Do what you feel.
But yeah, I it is not huge, but I just say everyone to try it once. And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But if you enjoy it, keep trying and see what happens. Or join other communities, because from other communities, you can get more experience from there or grow from there. Or just enjoy watching it, I guess.
Streaming is a fascinating world that contains fascinating scenes such as speedrunning. I could have kept talking and discovering more about the two topics for hours. Thank you so much to Green Snowdog and to our expert René Treur for the great insight and for the great expertise. Hopefully, we can count speedrunning as a major esports title at some point in the future and watch the events on Twitch. Until then, I challenge you to channel your inner Green Snowdog in a month and press play as quick as you can on next episode 2. See ya!